Happy Thursday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and happy Thursday, which is technically my Friday. I'm off the next 2 days. Got a dentist appointment tomorrow at 9:30. That's just about it. And though I've craved these days off, I was looking forward to these days off. These 2 days off coming up were my light at the end of the tunnel, the beacon at which I was striving to reach. And as it gets closer, I'm like, oh God. Oh God, being human is the best. Being human is the best. You can't please everybody all the time. You can't even please yourself all the time. And I even think that displeasure is a part of being happy. I think you have to be unhappy to be happy. In moderation, of course. But it could be the deeper the unhappiness, the higher the happiness. I think you need that pendulum swing. And that's why I don't think heaven works. I don't think our idea, conception or perception, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Our idea of heaven, I don't think works. Everything can't be total bliss, 100% happiness. We're not wired that way as human beings. Maybe when we die and we become a different kind of being, our experiences and what we go through will be redefined. But until then, I think we need challenges. We need ups and downs. We need disharmonies. We need things to fight against. We need to feel functional. I think we're functional creatures. We need to be functioning, producing, or actively doing something. I'm glad I went down that road, but probably what I didn't intend to soliloquy on. Man, just made that up too. I was walking there thinking, I'll be out here getting mine in. I'm very proud of that. Every day I'm out here, of course, I'm wearing the same clothes. I might want to switch that up. You watch the videos, it looks like it's one big long video. Because I'm wearing the same clothes and walking the same route. But I'll be out here. And I'm very proud of that. I think I realized that I'm proud of that because there's nothing more important than your health and your life and taking care of your life. And when you're young, you have no concept. When you're young, you're so full of life and so full of energy that it's hard to even grasp the concept of this feeling not lasting forever. You have no sense that, yeah, one day, if I keep eating the way I will, I'll be obese. If I start doing this, if I don't exercise, because as a child, I guess usually, whatever, you're running around so much, you're burning calories. But as you get older, you slow down. And God forbid you get a desk job early in life, where you're just sitting down all day. And that's where the idea of exercising comes in. And when I was, when I was younger, like 20s, 30s or whatever, the idea of going to the gym and all that, I think it started in the 80s with the workout fitness videos and, the hair and the workout suits. The idea of actually an adult going to a gym to work out is a product of our society or a product of our living environment in which we just don't get enough exercise, natural exercise. So that concept came in, a few decades ago, but I was probably still young to understand it. I figured it seemed to me it was more glamorous or something social to do. But as I got older, I think what happened, And I'm talking like 40, 45, 50. I said I wasn't going to do that no more, but I had to get that one down. I was thinking 40, 45, 50. Well, I started to realize my body wasn't responding the way it used to. That if I laid around and ate too much, well, first of all, yeah, if I ate too much, I gained weight. I got fat. I was almost close to 300 pounds. So that hit. So back in 1989, 90, I went on a diet, Dexatrim. Knocked a lot of that weight off, and I got skinny. And I was walking. I walk around the Rose Bowl 3 miles every day. Hell, in fact, I think I was jogging. Got to the point I was able to jog around the Rose Bowl. You know, very slow, of course. 3 miles every day. You know, pretty much after work or whatever. And so that's when I kind of, that kind of got, you know, fitness started to come to mind. And I started, so that was really in my 30s, I guess. Because I was trying to lose weight. And I think I was doing that just to lose weight. And then as I got older, what I'm trying to get to is I started to realize that my body needs a daily maintenance or a daily, to meet a daily bottom limit. I can't think of the words today. I don't care. Because tomorrow's my weekend, so. It has a minimal amount of activity that I need to feel healthy and not feel sluggish and tired. I had to start watching my eating, what I ate. Not so much what I ate, actually. How much I ate and when I ate it. Stuff like that started to affect me. And through experience, I started to notice this. Maybe I didn't notice when I was younger because I was drinking. So, and that's, you know, all bets off when you're drinking. But as I got older, it's when I started to realize, hey, I feel better if I don't do this. If I do this, it has an effect on me. If I eat this way, if I drink this much, if I do this, if I do that, it has this kind of effect on me. So I need to, you know, be careful and be aware. And I feel a lot better when I actually get exercising. You know, I need to walk. I need to be out there. I need to exercise my body. And I feel better. And then now, I'm at the point where, hell, I gotta walk 5 miles a day. You know, my body is expecting to be out here getting down, walking 5 miles a day. So, and I am kind of bragging on the fact that I'm out here 5 miles a day, that my blood pressure is good, I'm working on my health. I am definitely bragging, not that I have good health, not so much that I have good health, that the fact that I'm working on it and I have the discipline to work on it. If anything, I'm bragging on that. And because I'm sitting here looking at people concerned about politics or this or pronouns or just, you know, other stuff. I don't want to get on the left. I don't want to go sound like I'm going anti-left with the anti-racism thing. Though I have to admit, you know, they irritate me. That whole thing is irritating me now. Because to be honest with you, a lot of those people, in my mind, stereotypically, are into health and into crystals. And cleaning their crystals from the moon and eating right. And tofu and vegetarian and vegan. I associate all that with them. So, but what I really mean is, how I was going to crudely put it is, you got so many people out there worried about what Trump doing. And they're not taking care of themselves. Their health is a mess. They're not exercising. They're not eating right. And it could be financial. It could be they can't afford to exercise. Maybe they're working too hard. Or maybe they don't have time. It could be constraints on their lifestyle based on the responsibilities and obligations they have, family life, et cetera, stress. And from my standpoint, I always have to stop, step back, and recognize that everybody isn't in the position I'm in. Everybody is not in the position I'm in. Everybody is not, or could not, or is not capable of creating a space around themselves for decades ago, years ago, to where they give themselves enough room to not pamper themselves, but take care of themselves, give themselves attention, and carve out a big space to where, you know, I can give myself attention, space to breathe, to think, to actually have time to think about critical issues, and not just critical issues I see in media, but critical issues to me personally, what I find personally rewarding, what I find personally important to take care of and to handle, and have the space not only to think about it, but the space to execute on it. Everybody doesn't have that for whatever reason. And I may be, if anything, I hope y'all see me twisting my back when I do this. I'm twisting my back and my lower back and my neck. I'm like, I do my shoulders, then I do my lower hips or back, and I can feel my spine. But it's been decades. It's decades. You got to fight family off. You got to fight folks off. You got to learn how to tell your job, you know, no, enough is enough. No. When I started to realize, as you get older, things just come with experience. That's why I say I love being old. Because all this stuff comes with experience. That when I start a job, I tell them, hey, I don't work with Parliament Funkadelics in town. I don't work on my birthday. And I don't work when the Pittsburgh Steelers play. You know, I tell them. And, of course, I'm not 100% accommodated on that, but I get about 95. I get about 95% compensated. You know, so they know. I just set the groundwork. It's just like when, years ago, or I realized that when you get into a relationship, as soon as you meet a person, you tell them, I tell them what's up. You know, who I am, what I expect, what I think, my shortcomings, what's going on, this, that. I put it on the line. That's the best time to tell them, as soon as you meet them. And then you go from there. Either this is going to work or it's not. I just got to be me. Like when meeting people online, I would just be being me. And there's things I want to talk about that would put people off. It felt it was too personal, too fast. I'm like, okay, you're not the person then. Because I met other people who just jump right into it. And we go back and forth and go real deep, sharing stories and ideas and concepts at a not so, you know, surface level. Let them know right off. And it took, even with family, you know, especially family, you got to let them know. You got to build that space so they'll depend on you and they'll rely on you and they don't know any different if you don't train them. So I've had that, and I've lived alone probably most of my life now. I probably lived alone the majority. Oh, I definitely lived alone. No, okay, growing up, 20 years. Maybe 25. Yeah, I definitely lived alone most of my life. Well, I don't know. It's probably close. Because I lived with people in college a couple years. Of course, growing up till I was 18, I was married for a while. And I lived with other people, blah, blah, blah. But I probably lived alone pretty much most of my life. And this latest stretch of alone has been deep alone. Well, not deep alone. That's true, because there were spatterings of living with people then, even, or sharing, you know, spaces. But the intent, my mindset is, you know, is non-sharing and non-compromising. And that's the space I'm at now. and I'm able to be that, do that, execute that, and have, like I said, the space and the freedom to concentrate on me, to deeply concentrate on me and my health. Because I'm like, you worried about Trump indictment, she worried about this, worried about that. It's not like I'm getting on the left, and I don't know why I go there, but I just got to keep going there because it's coming naturally. You know, you worry about Trump, you worry about this, but you ain't taking care of yourself. You're not taking care of your health, the number one thing in the world. You more worried about something external than you are the biggest situation or the deepest subject or the most important thing in your life, you. And of course, it's easier to do that. Human beings, it's easier to take care of something externally. It's easier to comment on something negative that's external to you, that triggers you, that sees, that you immediately recognize as something that irks you or bugs you or stimulates you, and you can react off that stimulation. I get it. That's why I use Facebook. I used to use Facebook to trigger me, and then I'd write. I'd take that triggering and that emotion, I'd write, even a reply or whatever to the person, or in a separate, you know, a whole separate posting or writing. And I save it to my website for posterity forever. But for that moment, I wanted to capture that emotion, how I felt right then. And sometimes replying to a Facebook post right then and there, in the moment, feeling it, I got a lot of good stuff. And I post it to Facebook, go back later, copy it all on my Facebook page. I mean, to my website, which I may have to or should export into a more friendly format, because right now it's in WordPress. It's all there, but it's in WordPress. And I might want to get it out of WordPress and get it into like a text file, something that any, you know, generic app can read, like Notepad or something, just to get those notes and ideas. But what was I saying? Yes. So I'm out here and I'm wearing it. And if anything, I'm not bragging about my good health. I'm bragging about the regimen. I'm proud. I'm not even bragging. I'm proud. I'm proud that I'm out here taking care of myself. I'm proud that I'm out here doing something that I feel is the most noble thing a person could do. Take care of themselves. Make sure their health is there. And be aware. You know, I have, like I said, I have the space to be aware that eating this is not good. And I have the financial resources to buy better foods, to get things that are more healthy. I have the time and energy to actually research stuff, look up things, find different things, and all that. And that helps me be a fuller human being. And that's what it's all about, being a fuller human being. And as I was saying before I was distracted and walking up on loud traffic, let me also just say, when you're out here walking, you see stuff. Sometimes you go, whoa. Sometimes you go, whoa, whoa. But you definitely see stuff. But anyway, and I was thinking, you know, while I was walking up the noisy street, that it's really not bragging. There's a thin line between being proud and bragging. A very thin line. Because if you're proud, proud to me means you want to display how happy you are about an accomplishment. Or I guess display, I guess you could be proud and not display it, but my personality doesn't work that way. And probably not only that, my culture. And it could just be the black culture, it could be the American culture. You know, we're braggadocious. We like to put it out there, our accomplishments, be acknowledged for them. And in some ways, I also want to, I say brag about it because it's sensationalized and it's easier to digest platonically. Meaning if I say I'm bragging about it, people hear it, see it, and they can, it's easier to swallow because it has less intimacy. But if I say I'm proud and you know, see like I'm sincere and touching, and you get all feeling-ish. But there's like a thin line between being proud and bragging in my world, because I really am proud of my regiment, my health, the way I'm able. It's something that I always wanted to control. It's something that I always wanted to have a handle on or a discipline about. And as much as I love funk and the disruptiveness of P-Funk and the whole idea of funk it and whatever happens, happens, and just do your best and blah, 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 I do have a strong discipline. I have a very strong discipline right next to it, if not more so. And an integrity and a protocol and a rigidness that I think conflicts directly with the idea of funk. And just, you know, being free, not free and carefree, like, I don't want to say like the hippie thing, you know, not like that. It's a different kind of letting go to me. It's a different kind of funk it, you know. Do the best you can and funk it. It's a little different than just whatever happens, happens. No. There's a little bit more on it, but that's just my perspective. Maybe because of my strong idea of discipline and regiment and organization and protocol and integrity and all that. Those things weigh heavily and high on me. But, and to finally, well, yeah, I guess finally have, be in a place where I have a strong discipline or strong control of my health and doing the things. It took a long time. It was piecemeal. It was fix this, get that together. Fix that, get this together. Fix that, get this together. Fix that, get this together. It took decades. You know, piece by piece, job, money, clothes. I mean, just, it's not, you don't have, it didn't happen overnight. Especially since a lot of it may have been psychological or physical. I mean, more than just physical and financial. It's, a lot of it is probably a mindset that it just took. It took time. Shit. The light was at 14. And I was looking to see what number was at. And I was like, if it's low, if it's high enough, I'm going to have to make this light. So I had to run across the street. Which shouldn't be nothing. But it seems to always be. But I made it across the street. You'll be glad to hear. And there's another green walk sign, 1615. I can make that one too, but I'm old. There's nothing about being old. Nothing about being old is you can say you old. You can just use I'm old as an excuse for anything. You can just say, I'm old. And whatever happens, happens. I like being old. I like being old. Now, I might brag about being old. That I might brag about. I'm definitely proud of it. That's definitely more bragging about being old. I'm 61, and no way in hell I want to go back to my 20s. Right now, it used to be my 30s, but now it might be just my 40s. I probably want to go back to my 40s and start there, actually. And probably not because of financial or whatever. It's just the level of understanding and experience. And then to be able to go out and present that level of understanding and experience to the world, use it as a tool to accomplish what I want to in the world. Definitely, I never wanted. I mean, I was 40 and I didn't want to go back to my 20s. 20s, you get no respect. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to work and shut up and learn. And then as I got 30, mid-30s or whatever, I was at a high school game, and a high school kid sincerely called me sir. and it hit. You could hear it in his voice. It was that respectful kind of sir. You know, not like, hey, OG, you know, a big dog. It was like, sir, like a real one. And it hit me. I was like, oh, I'm that person now, huh? But that I brag about. I do brag about being old, but the control I have and the discipline I have with my health, being out here every day, walking, you know, getting out, I'm proud of that. Very proud of that. I'm proud of my travel. You know, been a few places around the world. I'm proud of that. Because that was something major that I always wanted to accomplish. You know, growing up in Youngstown, I knew I was gonna move as soon as I got a chance to get out of Youngstown. And I did. Happened in LA, which I feel is the best city in the world right now, probably because I'm in it. Well, I wouldn't say best city in the world. It's hard to say that because, you know, you can philosophically and logically, you know, just dismantle that statement. But it may be because I'm here and the weather and opportunities. There's a lot of reasons I could say this is the best place. But and a lot of them, maybe because I helped build it, build the life around me. That this, the funk scene, my role in making the funk scene here, P-Funk, people come together under that. P-Funk fans, I guess you can call it LA Maggot group, my association, the Parliament Funkadelic probably had a lot to do with me being established out here and being recognized out here. Just, well, basically being recognized from all over the world. You know, wherever I go to a P-Funk show, you know, all over the world, you know, people know me and I know them. I run across them. That's just a good feeling. They have built that, built my career in computers. But the health thing. Me being out here having control of my health and my weight, I don't see how anybody, I mean, I know it's hard. I mean, I can see how anybody, it's just, we're human. It's hard, it's very hard. You know better when you're sitting there eating a french fries and hamburger. You know better when you break out those donuts, we stop by Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kremes or eating that fried sandwich, you know better. And there's certain things I do, I know better, like the Black and Miles. I know better. But being human, the beauty about being human is that we can know better and still do it. And still find pleasure in it. And I think that's a bonus feature of being human. It's one of the best parts of being human. I say the best parts of being human lie within the weaknesses. And that's one of them. Now, we'll make choices that we know aren't good for us for that moment. To have that pleasurable moment. Pay for it later. Anyway, just wanted to say that about my health. I'm happy because I see another thing about humans. I see so many overweight people. Obesity is running rampant, and I don't want to sound holier than thou because I once definitely was obese, even recently, technically, as far as the standard goes, over a certain amount, it's obese, and I definitely was that, and in defense of whatever that, the weight I'm at now, I didn't think it was possible for me to get to this weight. I thought it was a pipe dream. I was like, that's impossible. Person this tall ain't supposed to weigh that much. That must be for a different kind of body build. Must be for a person with lighter or smaller bones or something. I'm like, there's no way that I can get down. But I'm down there. And it wasn't easy. That's for sure. And I see so many people obese and overweight. And I look at them and I say, I don't say nothing. I think, that's killing you. That's going to kill you. And I know there's nothing more important than living. And I know what's on their mind. I know they probably think about it every day. But they can't help themselves. You know, whatever. It could be a thyroid. It could be, you know, their metabolism. Females, I feel completely sorry for females. Or I have sympathy for them because, you know, their weight and their physical attractiveness plays such a big part in today's world for whatever reason. And they can't. It's very hard for them to lose weight. I mean, just in general, I guess. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just the idea. It's like very hard for them to lose weight. And weight means 10 is magnified 10 times for a female. Where a male could be anything. He could be, you know, fat or whatever, overweight. And it doesn't have the impact. Maybe through media or, you know, patriarchal perceptions of the way things should be. I don't know, whatever. But, and I do feel bad for that. When they have a baby, that weight comes on. A lot of times it don't come off. And then you got to take care of your child. And that's, you know, that's a whole different thing. Eating or whatever you got to go through and handle. But anyway, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the flunk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in this or any universe, that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all. A theory of universe. A hypothesis of all is one. My name is Jeffrey.